At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, whatever you do, don't do this next time you're on a girl's night out, because if you do it, you might lose your man. A new study found that if a woman who's having relationship problems talks to her female friends about them, she's 33% more likely to break up with her man.
You know why? Because her friends are like, don't take that from him. You should just get rid of him. Yeah. You're better off coming out and hanging out with us.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And the next time couples get together and you walk in with the same one, they're like, well, hey, I always liked you.
Yeah.
You're my favorite guy she's dated.
Yeah.
So this is what the researchers say in the study. They say there's two main reasons, and they're both bad reasons, too. Number one reason, the woman's friend are secretly jealous of the relationship and want them to end it so they can spend more time with their besties.
Goodness.
Or with their man.
Not that one. They didn't say that in the study.
Could be.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Second reason, the friends are having their own relationship issues, so they take out their frustrations and live vicariously through their friend by telling her to get rid of the man. Just get rid of him.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's two of the main reasons why. I think Tom is onto something, too. It's like, you know, that support that you get from three or four different other people that are saying, hey, get rid of him. I'm tired of him.
Yeah, sometimes the council, you know, they'll vote.
Yeah,
and then the boyfriend gets kicked off the island.
Exactly. It's like Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I tell my wife, I'm like, I don't like you hanging out with friends that are getting divorced and stuff, because, you know, they're all talking bad about relationships because theirs ain't working and they're trying to make me look bad.
Or they're talking about how much fun they're having being single.
Right. You're like, this is great. It's... I should have got rid of him sooner. And I'm like, you don't need to be hearing that.
Exactly. So if you are having relationship problems, what do the experts say you should do? It's easy.
Therapy.
Okay. Not hang out with your friends.
Okay. You can do both of those if you want to. But the person that you're actually having the problems with, you need to just discuss it with them. Yeah. And if that doesn't work out, they say, then get counseling. Go to a counselor to help you, you know, fix a relationship. And when women told their significant other about their issues, they were twice as likely to work through the things and stay together than the women that were talking to their other girlfriends about the relationship.
Well, yeah, how are you going to fix something if the two people who are having the problem aren't talking about it?
Sounds logical, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Do we need research for that?
Apparently. But
there's no communication in a lot of relationships, which I think causes issues.
I know, right? My wife and I are very good about that. Like, we make sure we text each other regularly. Sometimes we'll even call.
But you know what? That's communication.
You're right.
We send a lot of reels back and forth.
That's good.
That counts, right?
You know what? It's bonding.
Yeah.
You're sharing laughs with each other, you know?
I read that it's called pebbling. It's what the penguins do. They give each other pebbles just to be like, here you go, cutie. So that's my reel to him. It's like, here you go, cutie.
That actually makes a lot of sense. I will say that it can be very bad for the relationship if, like, you send that reel and then you ask them about it later and they clearly haven't watched it.
Yeah.
That's like a betrayal.
You send him, like, 300 reels and then he sends you one, but he doesn't respond to all your 300. And it's like, I thought of you all day.
I think we need to have you talk to that counselor.
It's time.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
All right, I've got a couple of options on what we can talk about here, so I'm going to throw it out there to the room, and if we end up in a tie, then we'll go to our text messaging. But I have this story to talk about Joe Jonas's tiny nipples, or I can talk about Greenville making the top 10 list for travel destinations.
Well, I've seen Joe's nipples, so. Okay.
They are tiny, but so are mine.
I
mean, how long of a break can his nipples be? They're so small.
I could talk a lot about them.
I'm intrigued.
Okay, so we may end up with a tie. Is that the situation here? Wait, I'm gonna go with the Greenville thing, so that'll break the tie.
Yes.
All right, let's go with Greenville making the top 10. As exciting as the Joe Jonas story would have been.
Yeah.
But I actually had to look at his shirtless when I saw the story about his small nipples.
Right.
And I'm like, because people made fun of mine.
Yeah.
Oh, my heavens.
I got little nipples.
Let me get my magnifying glass.
Give me something to see that with.
You got a tickling.
Well, frankly, if my pepperoni pizza had pepperonis that size on it.
There are mini pepperonis you can buy in the store.
I would not want that pizza.
That's that personal pan pizza. Pizza.
Yeah.
See, I told you we could talk about this
for a while. I'm taking it personally.
Yes.
Poor Joe.
Tiny, put
Call
your shirt
me
down
Joe.
If you don't
we'll,
mind.
We'll start a support group.
Just GoFundMe. Help Kato get bigger nipples.
I don't want them.
Oh.
Okay. Is that such a thing? Is it like a transplant?
A nippleectomy.
You know that your nipples are the same color as your lips are? That's proven.
I don't know about that. Kato's got dark, and I don't think your lips are that dark.
They are. It's the same pigmentation as your lips.
Let me see them again.
Yeah.
I feel so violated, but I'm going to show you.
They're different colors.
I got a tan, though.
You need to put sunscreen on those.
They're browner.
They're much darker than your lips.
Maybe that's wrong information on the internet.
Can I take my shirt off? It feels good with my shirt off.
At this point, it wouldn't make much difference. So let's
get on. You said at this point,
We just fell 4 or 5 points on the city to visit just in this conversation.
Wow. Good.
But Travel and Leisure puts out its annual list of the top U.S. cities to visit. And for the first time since 2012, Charleston, South Carolina, is not number one. It held the top spot for 12 straight years, but 180,000 readers voted, and the best city in America to visit is Santa Fe, New Mexico.
I had a friend
who lived in New Mexico said it is one of those hidden gems. It's an outstanding place to live.
It's a more, like you think you've seen it all. Then when you get to New Mexico, it's just a different landscape all over. It's
flat,
beautiful. Albuquerque sits up on a mountain, but it's really interesting state.
That's where my friend lived was Albuquerque. He said it was an absolutely beautiful place.
My dad's family is from a place called Truth or Consequences.
I've heard that in like Western movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a real place.
Uh-huh.
I think it got its name from like a radio DJ or something.
That's a really long name.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, it's not on the list.
Yeah.
Truth or Consequences did not make it, but Santa Fe did. Second was New Orleans.
Wow.
Which I don't think of New Orleans. I don't know. I guess they do have Mardi Gras.
And the Jazz Fest.
Yeah, but I mean, number two, that's pretty high up. Charleston fell to number three. Savannah, Georgia was number four.
Georgia represents.
That's the Tories' stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is there? It was in Savannah.
Pretty much anything you want.
A lot of bars.
Paula Deen.
Okay, I have been there.
Lots of butter. You can also walk around with your drinks.
Yes.
You got a big St. Patrick's Day celebration.
And
there's
River
all kinds
Street,
of stuff.
St. Patrick's Day is packed.
Yes, it is.
Plus Tybee Island's just down
no,
the
No, that's right. I've been there, too.
And they dye the river green during St. Patrick's Day.
No, not the river. Just the fountain. Do we dye the river?
Yes. I was there
what
for St.
River?
Patrick. The river that runs over in front of River Street.
You could walk around with your drinks.
Is that her stomping ground or mine?
So. I don't know.
I don't remember it being green.
Yes. I watched them do it.
Well, Greenville ain't green either all the time, but we still call it that.
But
we
we
should dye Reedy River green.
It is.
It
That's algae.
Is, okay.
It's chemicals for sure. Alexandria, Virginia was actually next. I don't know about that. Honolulu, Hawaii, and then Greenville, South Carolina.
We in the top 10?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
New York City, and then Asheville, North Carolina.
Wow.
And Chicago, Illinois rounded out the top 10.
Really, Chicago?
We have got to stop because all these transplants coming in here because of Asheville, because of Greenville, because of Charleston.
Now,
we need to stop telling people about South Carolina.
This is the top cities to visit.
So
get you a hotel room and go. You know, I was born and raised in Greenville, and they've done a lot with downtown, and I think they went too far. But when I do walk around or drive around Greenville, I'm like, wow, if I was from another city, I'd love to come visit here and walk around downtown, but I never go downtown anymore.
Right.
I never do.
That's so typical. When you live in a place, like I grew up on the beach, and it got to where I didn't go to the beach because I've been to the beach a bunch.
I had a friend that lived at the Myrtle Beach Resort, and she never went to the beach.
How far, really, do you live from Main Street? A mile?
2 miles.
And you still won't go downtown. No, that's pretty bad.
I don't.
I got to tell you, parking is not fun.
It's not. And it's just crowded. And, you know, I'm letting everybody, I've enjoyed Greenville. It expanded way beyond what I thought it would. And I'm glad, but I'm going to let other people enjoy it.
But
now,
when you can walk to Main Street, though,
oh,
and you still
I can't walk.
I'm 2 miles?
Yeah.
Are you smoking crack?
No. Oh,
have you been? There's hills. Yeah. It's not flat.
Oh, it's hot.
You know what? Get you a golf cart or something.
I could. Yeah. I started to.
Those hills are no joke. Where I come from, we don't have hills.
Yes.
The whole first couple of years, me living here, I was just panting just everywhere I went.
Go from Stone Avenue to the Hyatt.
Yeah.
Walk that and tell me if
I can
walk
that is hilly.
Let me tell you what would take Greenville up near the top of the spots. And this is simple. If you're a city leader, you need to listen. All right, number one, take a note from Savannah. Let us take our drinks out in our hands.
Yeah.
And number two, let's make those golf carts legal.
They are. You can go within 4 miles.
4 miles of your
home.
Of your home, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you live downtown, you can drive it anywhere.
Yeah, you go to some of the smaller, like Simpsonville, places like that. Yeah. You'll see people on.
Well, that's Simpsonville, but what about downtown Greenville?
Yeah.
I never see a golf cart in downtown Greenville.
You know, I know there are certain city rules that you have to, like, I don't think it could be a numbered street, like a 29 or 85 or
First Avenue.
No.
Second Avenue.
And also 35 miles an hour or less.
Another thing that would make this city great is get rid of the potholes, because we're losing people left and right.
Now, that's going to cost money. My two things ain't costing nothing.
We've lost two neighbors because of potholes.
Have
yeah, haven't seen them in like
that's
3 weeks. That's a big pothole. It could be like an attraction, kind of like the Grand Canyon. That's funny right there.
You keep going.
Yeah. That's how the Grand Canyon started.
Yeah, that's just a big pothole.
It started as a pothole.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
So if you're going to dress it up, girls, this is the way to do it. Okay, this is an accessory that you're going to need. Even the fellas need this accessory.
Not panties, then.
Majority of Gen Zers, they carry water bottles as a fashionable accessory now.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
I thought they were just being healthy.
7 out of 10 Gen Zers, they carry water bottles with them when leaving the house, with over half of them considering this is an accessory that needs to be matching their clothes.
Well, I know from my kids, they may leave the house with one, but they don't always come back with one.
That's true.
I want to say, how long are you going to be going on this trip?
Yeah.
You just run into the grocery store and back. Do you need that much water in a short trip?
Yes, I'm parched. But also, I'm convinced this is why Gen Z doesn't go through the ugly phase like we did. Because they're hydrated. They're taking care of their skin, yeah, their hair, their body.
And that's to assume that it's actually water in the bottle.
Oh, it's never water in my bottle.
Yeah, but it is in Gen Z's. They're following the rules. My kids are starting to go, like, they'll go to Planet Fitness because it's free for teens in the summer.
Yeah.
And so they go out there, and this is like, they take their water bottle, they go work out. And I'm like, don't you have something else not to do? Isn't there something you could be doing that's lazy instead of making me feel bad about the fact that you're just literally going and burning energy?
You know, with Gen Zers, they say they have 4 or more water bottles.
Holy crap.
So they're just going and picking and matching. Like, you know, I got a little pink top on. Let me go get my pink Stanley cup or whatever it is.
Hawk was talking to me earlier. He said, yeah, they got one for every day of the week.
You know, I have several bottles that I have never used.
Four.
Never.
Yeah, yeah.
4 is one for every other. Yeah, I never mind.
Yeah. He making a numbers joke.
I did. Yeah. I guess that I'm not hydrated.
He's dumber than I am.
True.
49% having different bottles for various locations, such as work, the gym, like Tom mentioned, even bedside table. They're matching their pajamas with their big water bottle.
I got my water bottle right here. I don't know if y'all can tell anything about the top of it.
Dusty.
It's dusty.
It is. Yeah, yeah. It's not been watering that
dude,
in years.
Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not
Tom,
dusty
whoever
anymore.
You know what? You see those Western movies with the little, you know. What is it called? I can't think of it. Tumbleweed.
Yes.
Yeah. And the dust just a-flowing. That's what it just looked like here when Tom blew off the top of his big
And I'm over
Stanley
here.
Cup.
My water bottle was wide open. My wrap was sitting out that I'm eating, and he just blew that dust all over my stuff.
It's good for you. It's got good kind of nutrients in it.
All right.
I just made that up.
Just sniff that dust. So on average, they spend about $23 on the water bottles that they have for this accessory to match their clothes. 27% is opting for reusable ones to save money.
And
what's not reusable? I mean, they're all reusable, right?
Yeah, because I'll take a water bottle like Aquafina and put tap water in it.
Plus, if you paid $23 for it, it better be reusable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess there's some of those cheap dollar ones or something. You'd be disposable. You just throw away. You get at Dollar General.
Seen that.
That's called Dixie Cup.
Yeah. Red Solo Cup.
Yeah, Red Solo.
Okay, so what influences their water bottle choices? Brand preferences, which I did some Googling. I had no idea. Louis Vuitton has water bottles now.
That ain't the one. I'm thinking they're getting, what is the brands they do actually get?
Stanley.
Hydro Flask?
Not anymore.
I think those
are really
out of style now.
Why are you looking at me?
Stanley, and then what is Owla or something like that?
Stanley is, I think, the big one for my kids right now.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, Stanley, they make screwdrivers. What on earth? Of course, Yeti used to be big, and then they came out with some cheap version of Yeti that got big.
Arctic, which is just as good.
Right.
Yeah, I got the Fetty at the flea market. It's a knockoff. And then the color coordination with their outfits, another reason why they choose the water bottles that they buy.
That just sounds like high maintenance to me. It's high maintenance.
Yeah.
And you know what? It is dumb, but I'm bad about this. Like, water bottles catch my attention when I'm out shopping. TJ Maxx, they got a whole section. Yeah. I'm like, oh, look at this one. It's pretty.
You have two water bottles right now.
I have three. Oh, no, wait. That's coffee. Don't
okay,
cut.
Okay, neither of them match. One of them's purple and one of them's olive green.
Oh, match each other?
No,
it's Barney.
Match you. Right now.
My shirt is brown. It matches both of these. Look at the match. Look at this.
We need to talk.
See?
Purple and green make brown.
What?
I don't get it either.
Okay. And then personalization is another reason. Like, they'll get monogrammed water bottles to match with their clothes and stuff. So they're going pretty far out. I was at church. This guy had like a gallon jug. Honestly, it was like a milk jug of water. And I'm like, dude, the service is only an hour long. Like, how much water do you need? I mean, it was almost like, you know, to see the big bottles in the workplace where you put them. And it's like, it was that big.
He was hoping Jesus was going to turn it into wine.
Well, it could be. I don't know. Or maybe he was part of the baptism team. I have no idea. It was huge. My kid was like, how much water does he need?
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I had a friend who was out of work right now. They were, what? Pardon me?
Nothing.
They were working at a job they've been at for a while, and the company came and said, listen, we're downsizing. We hate to do this. We got to lay you off. And so they immediately went on LinkedIn and started applying for jobs. This has happened to them before.
Yeah.
And so normally they get a new job within a week. But right now they're not getting jobs. They're not getting any offers. And they said one thing they've noticed. When they go to LinkedIn, and on LinkedIn, it'll actually show you how many people have applied for a job. And it's just thousands and thousands of people applying for these same jobs. There's just, you know, so many people across the country all applying for the same jobs.
Now, you didn't see the ones I applied for, right?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
I haven't looked at all. This is just what happened with them. But they said it's getting so out of hand, and whereas used to, it would be local people applying for the job, and you'd have a small number of people, and it wasn't that hard to get a job. Now it's very difficult. So I thought I would just share with you what I found out today online of what's going on and why this person may be having so much trouble getting a job. And this comes from someone who is out there in the field trying to get jobs as well.
Okay.
Not one word on my resume is true. And I'm killing these interviews because I'm just Johnny Ham checking my way through everything. I Googled a few terms and I'm just throwing them out there. I was like, yeah, I exceeded OTEs by 25%, retaining customer growth. I had one guy, I said I worked a sales development representative at Prime 7 Real Estate. And he took one look at my resume and he goes, Prime 7's a really good company. I made it up. It's not even real. That's how stupid these people are. And you go, oh, I don't get it. I have a good resume. I'm losing to people. You're losing to people like me. Who are making up.
Okay.
So this guy is making up all of the facts on his resume. He's getting callbacks. The people aren't checking to see if anything he wrote is true. And that is what you could be up against.
But there are a lot of companies that your resume will go through basically a computer system, and it weeds out any applicant that doesn't have specific phrasing in their resume.
Which he's playing to that.
And that's kind of what you have to do these days.
So that's why when you don't get much, a lot of customer service or people don't know what they're doing in their jobs because they're lying to get the job.
Right.
They don't even know how to do the job.
Right.
Well, at least he was honest about what he's doing.
Yeah. He's an honest liar.
Yeah. But what do you do when you're up against this? It's like Tori said, maybe you don't flat out lie like he did, but you go find those phrases that they're looking for and make sure they're on your resume.
I've done it before. You don't boldface lie, but you just stretch the truth enough so that you can get your foot in the door. And then you just learn whatever you may be about.
the only thing I remember doing, it was such
you
a...
You lied.
No,
I know, you
no,
lied about
I did
being
not.
In radio.
I
did
said you knew how to do this. And Tom helped me with it, is make the lie so massively big that they can't believe it, but it's very creative. And that's because we would get like, Tom made up these... I forget what they call
resumes reference letters.
Reference letter is a reference letter, and it'd be from these major stars, you know, like The Rock or somebody like that. And then you'd sign The Rock's name, and then you'd send that in with your resume.
I regret doing that.
Yeah, it'd be like from the President of the United States, and it's kind of funny because they can't believe that the president's going to endorse you for a job.
True.
So it's such an outrageous lie, but it's kind of clever.
With AI, you can make it seem like he actually does.
I did pretty good with my own stuff back then. I went and got the presidential seal and put it on there. Got the real president's signature from online.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was my own little AI.
You forged the president's signature?
Let's not talk about that.
That was 7 years ago, way past then.
Yeah, I got Hawke's job.
Yeah,
I didn't know I would be working with him later.
That's true. I came 2 years before Tom did. But then, you know what, though? I'm glad that we got to be a part of this.
It just shows that crime doesn't pay.
There you go.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.